Well, first of all, let us start this episode by saying may her in peace to Queen Elizabeth II. After 70 years on the throne, she died at the age of 96. And due to that, we did not have any football coming in last weekend, which personally I feel quite bad for because, of course, I was anticipating Manchester City against Tottenham. But all in all, a weekend without English Premier League football was. It was obvious that something was missed. Damola, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, it's a good thing that Premier League is back. It's also a bad thing that some games are still being postponed. So, I'm having mixed feelings right now. Like for example, Chelsea Liverpool was postponed from is going to be postponed from this weekend, this coming weekend. Last weekend, I was looking forward to that Manchester Tottenham game. It was postponed. So. And rescheduling and all that, considering the way the calendar is for most of these teams this coming season, you know how difficult it is going to reschedule because, of course, the World Cup is in November. It's not going to be that easy. Well, seven games coming this weekend. I'm excited for what's left of the game week. And, of course, I'm not excited because there's also going to be wahala of changing players and all that in my FPL team. Like right now, I think out of my 15 players in the squad, I only have like nine eligible players this weekend. So how to beat another Wahala? How exactly is it like this?
I honestly do not know because I used my free hits in the last, let's say the last game. Yeah, in the last game
so you cannot use bigger like
that
this.
was United against, because I had Arsenal assets in my team and I knew okay, Arsenal assets weren't going to do much, so I had to get them out of the team. So when I did. When my players came back, my players, let me see, I think Liverpool players are out, United players are out, and I still have,
You
let me see,
can't.
like half of my
Chelsea
squad,
is not
though.
good for you. The good news is my strongest players are still available.
City isn't playing as
City
well.
are
Is
playing.
City playing?
No, City are playing this weekend.
Okay, City are playing. Oh, I think that's good.
I only have one
Well,
City
I
player.
only have to make. I only have to I have three City players. I'm going to have like okay, just maybe like two edits to make for my team or three, sure, as it goes.
All right, anyways, let's get into it before Kwalumi joins us. Let's look at the fixtures that are coming this weekend. First of all, it has to be mentioned, honestly, at this point, if you don't have an Haaland in your team, I can't feel bad for you because you are the reason why I don't know why you have problems. But away from that, Aston Villa against Southampton, Friday night is our first set of Friday night kickoffs in the Premier League. We're getting somewhere. Aston Villa against Southampton by 8 p.m., also by 8 p.m. on Friday night, Nottingham Forest against Fulham. Wolverhampton Wanderers against Manchester City is the first kickoff on Saturday, 12:30. There's no goal rush on Saturday, just going to one game. Newcastle against Bournemouth. Tottenham Hotspur against Leicester City is another very, very good game to look into because, of course, Harry Kane has a good goal scoring record against Leicester City. And Leicester City are not in good form, so it's actually one to look into. On Sunday, we have Brentford against Arsenal. That's a London derby by 12 noon. And Everton against West Ham United, which I find quite interesting, if I'm being honest. Let's briefly look at what the table is looking like. Arsenal are still on top of the table, of course. No football last weekend means they're still on top of the table. Arsenal top, Manchester City from Tottenham Hotspur, from Brighton and from Manchester United and Chelsea make up the top six. Liverpool up to seventh spot. They're on the ascendancy. In fact, let me even ask you this. What exactly do you think Liverpool are back after what they did against Ajax in the midweek? Do you think maybe Liverpool are back on the ascendancy or do you think maybe they are still struggling?
Liverpool are not back anyway because if you watch the game you see let me see it was the 9 minutes that actually saved Liverpool because Ajax played very well. Ajax played very well. They were quick
But
on the
also in
counter.
that but also in that game, come on, you have to be honest. Liverpool did their best.
Yeah,
Liverpool
Liver yeah, yeah, yeah. Liverpool did very well and Ajax did quite well as well to hold them off. I think the only thing Ajax is struggling with now is aerial ball because you know there are quite a lot of times where Van Dijk and Matip got high up in the air and tried to cause problems for their goalkeeper and eventually that's what they got the winner with. So well, I think they are trying, but you know Premier League is a different ball game entirely and you don't know where your next visit is coming from. So that's just, well we would see. They were supposed to have a game this week against Chelsea. Chelsea are struggling as well under the new.
Yeah, but
What
the
is
game
it?
has
The
been postponed.
drill? Yeah, it has.
They haven't.
So until October until October, yeah, before we were able
Yeah,
to
because
see
after this weekend is international break.
before we're able to see what's up with Liverpool.
Yeah, well, it's looking interesting. Let me just leave it at that for now. It's looking interesting everywhere in the Premier League. Of course, if you want to know, if just in case you don't know, which I believe you already know, but just because I'm nice and I'm a very good person, I will tell you again. On the goal scorer chart, there's only one landlord because at this point, in fact, like how many goals are we expecting this season? Because I think 30 is going to be small.
Let me see 30, like 30, yeah.
Because at this point, this is game week six already, 6 games played already. And one human being has scored 10 goals already. What and the beautiful part is he's not going to the World Cup, which means during the World Cup break and all that, he's just going to be in the gym, keeping fit, relaxing himself, keeping himself in shape. Which means after the World Cup and everything and everybody's back with the right service, Alan might just be that constant captain guy. You know that what we used to do with more. What do you think?
Course, yeah. Like I said the previous week, I'm not removing my captain on Erling Haaland anymore.
Are you not keen
Naim
on
will
Pep
get him.
Roulette?
So
Are you not keen on Pep Roulette?
I don't think Pep is going to roulette together as ten that is looking to become like he's looking to break the goal scorers record for the Premier League. He has 10 goals in just 6 games. I don't think Pep is going to roulette that kind of guy. Even if me says the Haaland, I go vex. So Pep not like to be that kind of guy.
We actually, I mean, of course, speaking of Vex, we've seen cases whereby Haaland has come off the where, of course, he was substituted maybe with 2 goals to his name or something. They will substitute him, and you can easily see the frustration on his face that he's not exactly happy that he's
Of
playing
course.
off well.
A
Sometimes
player
you just
wants to play. A player wants to play every game. Wants to score every time. As a
yeah, but
striker, as a prolific striker
you
that he
don't
is.
score two already, bro. Try be calm.
No, as far as he has scored two, once you get two, the next thing a player is chasing is a hat trick. Once you get the hat trick, you are chasing 4 goals. That's how it should be for a player of his caliber.
All right then. Erling Haaland 10 goals, Alexander Mitrovic 6, Harry Kane and Ivan Toney with 5 goals wrap up the goal scorer stats. Kevin De Bruyne stand out number 4, number 1 on the list, 4 assists to his name. Roberto Firmino, Gabriel Jesus and Jack Harrison have 3 assists apiece. Of course, when you look at other things, Manchester is still on top of everything right now that I'm looking at. The goal scoring, the team goals for this season, Manchester has scored the most goals in Premier League this season, which is the most passes in the league this season, 4,455. It's also looking good for them. You look at the clean sheets, so of course, the Golden Glove races. It might be quite early, but of course, not small with the entire race as they go. Jose Sarr, Nick Pope, and Robert Sanchez, plus Ederson Moraes, all have 3 clean sheets to their name. So it's a four-horse race at this. Let's see who drops and when. As for the saves, Nick Pope, 28. Jordan Pickford and David Raya of Brentford with 26 each. But at the moment, Jordan Pickford is injured. It's going to be interesting to see what becomes of Everton actually with this Pickford injury. You might want to keep a close eye on them. The good news is he should be back after the international break, so they might not work for too long. Dean Henderson with 25 is chasing closely as well for the saves as well. So looking at all that, it's building up to something interesting. And like I mentioned, there are some games that are still being postponed, so we have only 7 games to look forward to this weekend. Don't forget, if you make that mistake, don't be like me last weekend that I slept and forgot deadline. The deadline
I don't actually,
is
I don't
Friday.
know. I don't know how you guys forget deadline day. Like, I mean,
I mean, I would not say I forgot exactly. The only thing I wanted to do was change my captain band, change my I think I was give Kane or Haaland. And I
you
slept off
still
and I lost deadline
forgot.
record.
Still you forgot.
That's one way to put it. So don't go and forget, don't be like me. 6:30 on Friday, change your captain, do your transfer, everything. Let me read the fixtures again. Aston Villa against Southampton, Nottingham Forest against Fulham, Wolves against Man City, Newcastle against Bournemouth, Tottenham against Leicester City. I strongly recommend Harry Kane against Arsenal, Everton against West Bromwich Albion. On that note, we'll be back shortly for the rest of the analysis. So we begin again. Welcome back to Tetra Forecast. So it usually gives me joy. It brings me a comparable amount of intense joy. You know what? Let me not talk fixtures again. Again, don't forget, I'm saying it again now because I'm nice to all of you. Deadline is on Friday evening by 6:30. If you do mistake and forget it, it's not in my hand though. Don't say I'm not doing anything for you. Aston Villa against Southampton. Nottingham Forest against Fulham on Friday night. Wolves against Man City on Saturday. Newcastle against Bournemouth. Tottenham against Leicester City. On Sunday, we have Brentford against Arsenal and Everton against West Ham United. Now, gentlemen, because we don't want to take too much of our time, let's begin quickly. Let me start with Wolves against Manchester City. 12:30 on early kickoffs in England have always been known to be quite tricky. Let's start with that. But at the same time, Wolverhampton Wanderers have not exactly been stable. They've been quite dwindly, if you'd ask me. That's where I would put it when it comes to form. And don't forget that in this game last season, this particular fixture last season, is when Kevin Ibrahim looked at everybody and was like, you know what? Let's have some fun. He scored 4 goals in that game. Wolves are 14th on the table. Manchester City are looking to take over Arsenal very soon. They are second. They are in hot pursuit of Arsenal. So where do we stand? But let me start from you. How many goals? I know you are just going to tell me how many goals Alan will score, but let me hear from you. Man City against Wolves.
Actually, as for because of the time of the kickoff, I am not going to sit here and tell you Alan will score so many goals or anything. Even if I was still captaining him in my FPL. But the thing is, the issue is Wolves are a solid team. They are not bad, but then I feel like the only thing that keeps holding them back from being very good, is their lack of finishing. Because Wolves are it, and then when you play a team like Man City, you are not going to create so much chances. The little you get, finish them off. That's how to survive when you play Man City. The little chances you get, you make sure you score. That way, you give yourself a very good fighting chance of winning. But Wolves, we have seen Wolves this season that even against teams that give up so many chances, Wolves can play 17 shots in one match, have 15 shots on target, and still not score. That's how bad their finishing is. And then when you play
Match. Speaking of finishing, I feel like since Raul Jimenez suffered that head injury from that collision with David Luiz about 2 years ago, I feel like he has not exactly been, since he came back to the pitch, he has not exactly been back to that level.
Adam.
Yeah.
Let me quickly say this in Yoruba. Oli Jimenez did that. Walai.
Olumi, you cannot be doing this one. But seriously, that's just my because we know Jimenez as one of those standard guys that know how to score and all that. You go back to seasons with Jota, Doherty. Sorry, let me just finish this. You go back to seasons when it was Jota, Doherty, Jimenez, and Adama Traore. Those four guys and Nuno Espirito Santo knew how to mix them together. Fine, Jota struggling a bit. They brought in some players afterwards. We've seen the likes of Podence, Neto. These guys can create chances. Yes, in presently in their team, there's Matheus Nunes, there's Podence, there's Neto. Of course, Neves can pass. Moutinho has the crossing. All these things are there. What exactly is it that is Jimenez not exactly firing?
Well, Adam, I think you're forgetting the fact that Wolves have not signed Diego Costa.
Oh, hallelujah. I forgot to mention that actually. That one actually skips me.
But Damola, let's be frank with ourselves. Let's be straight up. Forget his announcement video where he was holding Wolves. Diego Costa is no longer the
Are you kidding? Player. Are you forgetting that I'm not even talking about that. You know Diego Costa, you know what he can do.
Yes, I know what he can do, but man, Costa is years ago. The Costa of I know what he can do was years ago. Costa that went to
when was country. Just because he left the European spotlight does not mean he's not still good.
But
I will be honest, I did not exactly watch him in the Brazilian Premier League at all, but let's just still keep our fingers crossed and maybe give him an open check.
Me, I feel like with the amount of chances Wolves create, if you keep putting those chances on the plate for Costa is a very aggressive striker. Costa will get into those positions. Costa will score. He will finish. For me, I feel like the way Wolves play, the way they create, if they have a very good finisher, their striker will definitely be amongst one of the best in the league. Not because the striker is so good, but because they create so much.
Exactly. That creation is what is at least if you take if you want to take a case study just to wrap up this whole Wolverhampton Wanderers issue, just a case study of Wolves creating chances. If anybody has the time, go and watch Tottenham against Wolves, the full game this season. Tottenham won that game by just one goal to nothing, just one goal. Harry Kane, I remember that game properly. But if you watch that game, you would think Wolves were crushed with the way they played, because I would not lie, Wolves could have easily been 4 or 5 goals up before Tottenham even got the ball in the back of the net. It was very, very sad to look at. Well, like you mentioned, hopefully Diego Costa is maybe that missing piece that they need. And the good news is he's a free agent, 1-year deal. If it doesn't work out for them, they can easily move him on and get some and try again with
No,
somebody.
they have now. They have this thing now. They signed this guy from Stuttgart now. They signed Costa because they are signing from
And
Stuttgart.
Kalasic got an ACL already.
Yeah, that's why they signed Costa now. It's not because they don't have somebody in-house.
Well, let's see how it goes for them. That's just the honest truth. Let's just keep our fingers crossed and see what happens. Now, the one I want to talk about. Personally, I feel like this is like the biggest plot twist in this present what's it called? How will I define it now? In this present European in Premier League transfer, when it comes to managers, because Tottenham against Leicester City. Just this straight up question: if Leicester City lose this particular fixture, would it be the red card for Brendan Rodgers? Damola.
Actually, we cannot say it's going to be the end for Brendan Rodgers, and we also cannot say it is not going to be the end. You know why? Because I think with the kind of recruitment Leicester City have done, even though Leicester City have been poor, they've been I don't think they have any point. I think they have
They
just
have
one
just one
point.
point.
They have just 1 point from 16, and they've conceded 16 goals. With the kind of recruitment they have, because I mentioned it in the last game, I think they were supposed to face, was it Manchester City or a team like that?
Prior to
Like,
this, they
I
were supposed to be
mean,
Aston Villa, but it was postponed.
Aston Villa. I mean, I don't know.
That
Leicester,
was
Leicester City have been they've been poor. Their recruitment as well. We talked about their recruitment pattern over the summer. Everything was, I don't know what's wrong with the team, but I don't, even if the coach is sacked, it's just be like. Just a continuation of what is going on. I don't think there can be any improvement anyways, except the players, the players start to turn up and do things for themselves.
Except the players start to turn up and do things for themselves, Leicester are not going to change their fortunes around. Well, on Sunday, we have a London derby. This one, the only reason why I feel like this one, on paper, of course, we look at their recent meetings. Last season, Arsenal won one, Brentford won the other one. Brentford won on opening day 2-0 against Arsenal. Arsenal came back later in the season and won 2-1 against the same Brentford side. Now, you come into their recent form and it becomes very interesting. Arsenal are on top of the table, although, yes, they lost their last game, and you would say, yes, they maybe have been stung. Their perfect record is gone for this season. Or you look at it from another angle and say that, okay, fine. It's interesting that how will I define it now? It's interesting that on this high pedestal, of course, we expect them to step back up and actually regain that position. They want to remake that statement that, okay, United's loss was just a one-off. They can still maintain that momentum. It's not going to be the beginning of their downfall. Let me put it that way. Now, on the other hand, you look at Brentford. These guys are looking like they can upset the big boys. Of course, you would say United were in their worst shape when they took on United and beat United 4 goals to nothing. But outside United, you cannot say that this Brentford side have been exactly bad, to be honest. So where exactly does this game swing? Balloon.
For this Brentford versus Arsenal, honestly, especially with the break-in, to be very honest with you, I feel like the break-in football has given everybody like a reset button where you can no longer come out and say, oh, because Arsenal were flying before the break means they will come back and be flying. We all know what breaks can do in football. There are times where you just that break like this can just kill their momentum, and then
And
the next thing.
actually, even if it was to be they were going to play the Europa League match, at least they would have gotten
Yes, they have to.
some
The
back.
Europa
But
League
I
game has also
mean,
been postponed. But also postponed, supposed to hold tonight.
yeah. So the last time they played was last Thursday, a game that against Zurich, you could see that Arsenal more like battled to the win. It was not a smooth sailing game for them. Now, of course, after that kind of game, they want to immediately play again, so they try to get back up. But then, There's the whole postponement of games. Now they're having their Europa League games postponed. Fine, it gives their players more time to train and be fresher. But then sometimes being too fresh too, sometimes it kills rhythm. It kills rhythm. You understand what I mean?
Okay.
So I
Yeah.
cannot come here and tell you this is how it will go or this is how... For Brentford are used to playing once every week. Fine, except the postponement, which means that they will not play in 2 weeks, but they are used to playing once every week. So whatever momentum they have, they know how to maintain it once every week. Maybe a draw.
But it, okay. Well, if but on my own hand, just to wrap up this whole, because this is our final game that is worthy of mention actually in this Premier League weekend. Like I was the wrapping up of this thing for me would be that, for example, you look at it, Arsenal, for example, I feel like maybe it was a break they needed because let's be honest, the moment European football started coming in, they were supposed to be playing twice a week. They were playing Sundays or yes, Thursdays, Sundays, Thursdays, Sundays, Thursdays. And we've mentioned it over time that this Arsenal squad might not exactly be the most energetic, let me put it that way, because these boys are still young. You can't expect a 21-year-old Bukayo Saka. And pardon, I'm saying this straight up that Bukayo Saka is 20, well, just 21 a few weeks ago, which means you can't expect a 21-year-old to be playing 90 minutes twice a week and expecting to deliver top-notch performances every time. So, as Pelumi said, yes, of course, it can be a reset button. But it's a reset button, the fact that yes, they've gotten some rest that they needed. They don't play for, they calm down. It's like an international break. And they don't get to maybe don an England set and play any sharp international game as well. You just chill at home, relax yourself, and bring your mind back to itself. So it's left to be seen if the reset was good for them or it will not exactly be the best thing that happened to Arsenal this coming game. Now, let's move away from. Now, in fact, finally. But let me, what's the FPL team looking like? We thought the suspension happened.
Before the suspensions by FPL team.
I'm saying with the postponements in the game now, do you have a complete team or are you shaking? How many players do you have in
Not even opened it. I've not opened it. Last
the
week, I took -8 because I wanted to bring in, I wanted to let go of Salah and all of that, and Arnold is twin brother.
Yeah.
And
Whatever they
after
are.
-8, they postponed the games. This week, I've not opened it because we'll see. I don't know. Maybe I'll use a free hit, Sha. I think I'll use a free hit. If the players that are to play are not summoned, if not, I'm not using a free hit.
A particular brother on this podcast right now has already used this phrase, but Muforuko
Give rest. Rest in Jesus' name.
Anyways, let's talk about UEFA Champions League quickly. Inter pleasing 0, Inter Milan 2, Edin Dzeko was the star of that show. Sporting 2, Tottenham Hotspur 0. But let me, I know you were happy about this one, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Liverpool 2, Ajax 1. Porto 0, Club Brugge 4. Bayer Leverkusen 2, Atletico Madrid 0. That one I found quite interesting. This one, for me, is also, in fact, everybody's happy about this one, except me. Bayern Munich 2, Barcelona 0. Olympique Marseille 0, Eintracht Frankfurt 1. AC Milan 3, Dynamo Zagreb 1. Shakhtar Donetsk 1, Celtic 1. Rangers 0, Napoli 3. Napoli are flying, 7 goals scored in 2 games. It's looking interesting. Chelsea 1, Salzburg 1. It's not exactly the best start to Graham Potter football in Chelsea. So I would keep my comments until maybe they stretch this on this their winless run for a while. Real Madrid 2, Leipzig 0, Copenhagen 0, Sevilla 0, Manchester City 2, Dortmund 1, Maccabi 1, PSG 3, 1, SL Benfica 2. Now, where may to start from, if I'm being honest, is that Juventus happening Juventus.
See, that Juventus team, I don't even understand what the problem is with them actually. They are not so, I don't know, Massimiliano Allegri or whatever his name is. I don't understand the kind of football that guy is playing, the kind of tactic he's asking his players to play. And when your Juventus scored in, was it the 4th minute of the game? I was like, okay, maybe they, because after that they had a
Yeah,
couple
it
of
was
more
important to
chances.
continue.
Like, okay, yeah. They had a couple lot more chances. I said, okay, maybe this is finally something Juventus can win. But after they won, I don't know, they just started falling apart. After they scored, I mean, they started falling apart and everything wasn't just going according to plan. And Benfica overran them. And just like that, I mean, come on. I don't know what problem is with Juventus, but maybe they need a change of coach. They need a change of tactics. They need a new they need fresh ideas into the team
Yeah,
because
their record in the
I
league
think
has
I think
been very,
I
very
think
bad.
has,
That's
has
another
been
thing.
bad. Yeah. That's why I said maybe they need a change of ideas. I think Allegri has finally lost it and maybe it should be allowed it should be led to leave the team, but I don't know what the Juventus hierarchy are thinking.
Well, it's open books. Now let's talk about Chelsea. Get the fairy tale start to his job at the Stamford Bridge. I mean, of course, they took the lead early in the second half. Very, very good goal from Raheem Sterling, I have to say. I enjoyed it. But the issue is, the way they considered the goal as well, you can say, yes, it was under controversial circumstances. I mean, they were appealing for a foul, but it was not given. That also brings me to the question. Usually, I thought the rule of the game was play according to the whistle. Why did they stop, calm down, and give Salzburg so much space? And also, were Salzburg that good on the night, or were Chelsea just not up there? That's another thing.
The Chelsea Salzburg
Hello?
game, yeah. Chelsea created a lot of chances. They did quite well because I didn't actually watch the match. I saw the replay. According to what I watched, they created a lot of chances, but it just didn't happen for them. I don't know why the attack isn't linking. I don't know what Aubameyang is doing. I don't know what Havertz and Mount what they are doing as well. But I think Salzburg came back, and I think they snatched a well deserved. What happened with the goal was I think was a mistake from Thiago Silva. If he hadn't slid in like that, maybe the ball wouldn't have actually been able to leave where it came from. That resulted in the goal.
So
But at
you're
least,
saying it was a one-off.
Yeah. Just they
Good
just
news is
I
they
think
don't
it
play
was
the
just a
Champions
lucky
League
draw
again.
for Salzburg.
Well, actually, from what I saw, actually, it was not exactly that much as well. I mean, especially in the first half, if I'm being honest, you know, it was not that many chances that flew around. But second half, after Salzburg equalized, Chelsea looked like they were actually on the ascendancy. They wanted to get that goal. Breyer missed a very solid chance towards the end. Aubameyang missed one. I think Kai Havertz got his header wrong. Oh, he got the header, but
It's
somebody was in
somebody,
play.
yeah.
Exactly. So it looked like Chelsea were going to get it for. So I would still say fingers crossed for Chelsea. For Barcelona, I know you are happy about this one. In fact, I wish Paulinho was here. I really hope he gets back here soon. But what exactly? I would not say something went wrong, but let me still ask you, what happened?
What happened? What happened was Barcelona lost a lot of chances, and if you miss a lot of chances like that against Bayern Munich, you're going to get punished. Like I don't know what happened. It just wasn't happening for Pedri. It wasn't happening for Rafinha. It didn't happen at all for Lewandowski.
Lewandowski
because
had seven shots without hitting the target.
I mean, those are the kind of goals you would expect. Those are the kind of goals you'd expect Lewandowski to score on a normal day. Like, and he somehow blasted all of them over the bar. Got some. I mean, come on, Pedri had a free chance in the that could have okay set Barcelona on maybe even if they're going to draw
very
at
early
least
in the
scored a
game.
goal in the game at least scored a goal. Let's see maybe the momentum of the game will change in Barca's favor. But come on, I don't know what he did. He just played it straight to Neuer, and from there Bayern started to grow. I didn't even think it was even a matter. It was just five. I would call it 5 minutes of madness like that just happened in the game and allowed Bayern to win the game.
That's exactly how I saw the game as well. Because I was like, Barcelona played for 85 minutes. The 5 minutes they did not play, they considered two goals.
Yeah,
but
five. It was just five. It was 5 minutes of, because
goal.
the goals were easy. The goals were easy. Even let's say the first goal, nothing could have done. It was a header. Yeah, okay. But the second goal, what happened? What happened?
Really
Sané drove. Sané drove in the middle of how many players? Four, five players, and got the shot away. What were you looking at? What were you doing? So I think that's just what happened in the game.
Well, at the end of the day, it's what is done is done, and for Chelsea and other teams that are struggling,
so at least you cannot activate any lever.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice. Thank you very much.
If there was a way you could activate lever to say okay, let's cut three goals,
there's
I'm very sure
Laporta. All you have to do is just All they have to do is just sit back, relax, and recharge themselves and do the whole thing all over again.
But oh, well, they still have a better chance of qualification though from the group. You are still going.
If I'm being honest, my own opinion of the group, when it draws were made, the moment I saw Bayern Munich, I had already zeroed and I said Barcelona have to just work for and they are good enough. So the double header between them and Inter Milan in October after the international break would be very, very crucial. If you are standing if you're looking at it from my own standpoint, honestly, all you have to do is just maybe get, if you can get, even if you don't get the both wins, make sure you get 4 points out of those two games. Once that's done,
game,
you should be able to seal your deal. Inter Milan, unfortunately, well, they will not give it to Europa League at the end of the day. Romelu Lukaku is not new to it, so. Well, anyway, on that note, we have come to the end of this interesting episode. Well, me, unfortunately, have to run out quickly, but I believe we've done justice to what it's not exactly our dream game, but we still do what we have to do at the end of the day. Thank you very much for joining me, Damola. It's always a pleasure to have you around. It's always a pleasure to be here to talk football. Mention, just so you will not say that I did not do anything good for you, I will say it today. 6:30 on Friday, don't forget your deadline, because at the end
deadline,
of the day, it's not my team, it's your team. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you, and we'll see you next.
Bye.